Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Welcome into 2025. And I hope it's starting off well for you, both the morning and the year. I'm starting off a little bit under the weather, so hopefully my voice holds up through the course of the program. But so I caught the cold that everybody else had here at the studio, which it's only a matter of time when you all share the same microphone. No matter what you do, eventually everybody gets the same cold. So we'll try and hold out as long as we can, but hopefully you had a safe and happy New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and now you're ready to take on 2025 head on. And just a quick programming note for you as we head into the new year. Starting today, the Howie Carr Show is shifting its schedule. So Howie, instead of being on from 3 to 7 live every day, is going to be on from 2 to 6. And as a result of that, you know, obviously we have Barry Richard on until 3 p.m., so we're going to miss the first hour of Howie Carr each day. We'll join Howie in Progress every day at 3 p.m. And then right now, currently, we will have from 6 to 7 p.m. a Best of Howie Carr hour, because we're still deciding what we're going to do with that hour. But for now, we'll have a Best of Howie each night for you. Basically, just some older shows in there for an hour. But we are planning on looking at that time slot and seeing what we can do with it. So, but Howie wants to have an earlier end time for his program. You know, down there at Mar-a-Lago, wants to go down there and have dinner and everything, you know, with all the movers and shakers, right? No. He's earned the right to change his schedule if he wants to. So he's going to do that. And we'll pick it up in Progress every day at 3 p.m. So you'll still be able to catch that first hour if you miss it here on the Howie Carr Show podcast, available from HowieCarrShow.com. We just won't get it in time to be able to put it in, you know, and we don't want to, we talked about it. Well, do we want to carry Howie on a delay so that we can pick it up from the first hour and you can hear the show in its entirety? But we decided that's not a great idea because a lot of local callers want to call into Howie live. So we want you to be able to hear it as it's happening, so you can join in the discussion, because I hear a lot of our callers calling into Howie all the time. So that's just a little programming note for you. Now, today we can certainly talk about the horrific attack in New Orleans, the incident that also happened in Las Vegas. The FBI is still probing whether or not those two incidents are connected. We are certainly willing to take your thoughts and feelings on it. But for right now, you know, the details are starting to come out on who this person was behind the New Orleans attack. And now they're looking for who these accomplices might have been. But the end result is 15 people killed, 35 injured from something that we know is a risk when you have these public events. The idea of driving a truck into a crowd. And they have these things that are designed to keep people out of, from being able to do that. What do they call them? Bollards, I believe they're called, that are designed to keep people from being able to drive into crowds. But those in New Orleans were out for repairs ahead of the Super Bowl next month. So was this person aware of that information? Did they know that this would be, did they know that this would be a weak point to be able to just get past the police cruiser and they'd be able to get into a crowd? And certainly they plan to do a lot more damage than just the truck striking people, because they had an IED in the truck and they had IEDs planted in other areas of the French Quarter. So they were planning on something much bigger that thankfully was not carried out, but still 15 people dead, 35 injured in New Orleans. Not that it's an important part of it, but something that, you know, is part of the story is that now the Sugar Bowl game was postponed to today because there were a lot of people in town, not only for New Year's Eve, but also for that game. So they knew that this was a time when there would be a lot of people probably still out on the streets, even at, you know, 3 a.m. So again, we can take your thoughts on that at 508-996-0500. We can take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And then the incident in Las Vegas in which a Tesla Cybertruck exploded outside of the Trump Las Vegas hotel was found to be stuffed with firework, mortars, and gas canisters. So this was another case where it looks like the person behind it was trying to do a lot more damage than just, you know, blow themselves up. And now they're looking into possible connections between the two. And then we had 3 people killed in Honolulu, well, the Honolulu area, and 20 people injured with a fireworks emergency, which was not related to these other two cases. This was just an incident in which they tipped over fireworks that were supposed to go in the air that ended up not going in the air. But of course, every time we have, it seems like every holiday now, and even when there's not a holiday, you have people setting off their own fireworks. And we have injuries that occur as a result of those. That people who get their hands on fireworks aren't really trained in how to set them off, and they're just, you know, reading the instructions on a package or going by what the person that sold them to them told them to do. And they're not as cautious as they need to be. Like, I don't know how much the municipalities and communities that set off fireworks now, they seem to all hire somebody to come and do it. It's not like back in the old days when, you know, one of the town workers took care of it. Oh, we've just got somebody from, you know, municipal maintenance out there setting off fireworks. No, now it seems more that everybody hires a professional. And most of those professionals are setting these things off with a computer program as opposed to walking over and hand lighting them. So when you see these professional displays, those aren't being lit in the same way people are lighting them when they buy them and bring them home and put them on, you know, their back deck and light them off. And then are surprised when their deck catches on fire. So you're able to get your hands on bigger, better, more professional fireworks. But that doesn't mean that they are safer for you to set off. So I think you've got to weigh the risks with the rewards when it comes to setting off fireworks. And I find that it's too risky, and I'm not a big fireworks person anyway. So I've never really had the motivation to want to go get some and set them off myself. It's literally burning money in my eyes. Now, I like, you know, when I was a kid, I liked the bang snaps and the sparklers and the ones that turned into a cobra and all that stuff. That was fun. But I don't feel the need to, like, up the game and decide that I've got to set off these professional-grade fireworks in my own yard. You can always find a fireworks display to go to on a holiday that you can enjoy at a safe distance and not run the risk of blowing your hand off. And hopefully we didn't have too many incidences of that over the last couple of days, but we certainly had fireworks going off. So 508-996-0500. Now that we are in the new year as well, you know, I've already seen a lot of people posting about how they hope that this year is going to be a better year. And I always, you know, I guess it's kind of a joke when I say it, but it's also true. The only thing that's changed is the calendar. So if you felt like 2024 was a bad year for you, you can use that calendar change as a symbolic gesture to wipe a clean slate. But if you're somebody that had a good 2024, there's no reason to think that it won't continue. My issue with the whole, you know, New Year perspective is a lot of times people use it as a launching pad for something that they're not going to keep up with. So resolutions lead to expectations. Expectations lead to understandable being upset, understandably being upset when those expectations aren't met. And then that kind of defeats the whole purpose. I was talking about this with my weight loss doctor. Not in regards to resolutions, but in regards to goals. Like when we first started talking about weight loss goals, I said I tried not to be too unrealistic with the goals because, like, if I didn't meet them, I would give up. So I tried to start off, you know, obviously I had my long-range goals in mind, but I tried to set smaller milestones to hit. And that worked. And I think if you are setting lofty resolutions for yourself, you know, that's going to be harder to live up to. But if you set, you know, kind of mile markers to get to, mileposts to get to. Like, I'm going to say, like, let's just say you want to lose weight and your goal is to lose 50 pounds. Well, let's say I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of March and I want to be 20 down by the end of June. You know, setting up these smaller, more achievable goals make it easier. But again, you know, I'm not a life coach. I'm not somebody who really can motivate others. I tried being a sports coach for my son's teams. I wasn't really that great at it. So I'm never going to be somebody that's going to tell you, you know, what to do, but I can just give you tips and tricks and ideas and ways that I've approached it. But hopefully you're already off to a good start on your New Year's resolutions. Like I said, I don't make any. I did say I wanted to get out there and walk again more regularly, but that's more of a ongoing thing than it is a resolution. And I was like, yesterday I said, oh, well, I'm going to go out and take a walk. Maybe I'll finally get the cat to put on his harness and see if he wants to go outside and take a walk. And then I just was feeling so under the weather, I didn't even wake up yesterday till 4 p.m. I got home Tuesday night, I don't know, like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Cooked dinner, watched some TV, fell asleep in the chair. Somehow woke up like right at midnight. Put out a post on social media. Closed my eyes, went back asleep, fell asleep again in the chair, woke up at 4 a.m., went to bed. Stayed in bed from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of colds, but I was glad I had that time off to be able to do that. And as you can tell by the sound of my voice, it worked wonders, right? It probably did. I mean, if I hadn't done that, who knows? Maybe I'd already be raspy and my voice would be gone, which will probably be the case by the end of the show tomorrow. Just noticing here, this is not good. I'm just taking a look at the commercial break that's coming up, and why don't we get ready to go into that. We'll take your calls at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. Before we go to the news, let's take a quick phone call. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
How's it going?
Okay. I know you're up against the clock. I was just going to tell you, I put on the app this morning and I was listening to it. And it might be because the wind, it's took it right out because it's just blinking and buffering now. It's not working out at all.
Oh, yeah, that might be an issue with your mobile data. Are you able to use any other app? Is everything else working okay?
Yeah, everything else is working, but I'm just wondering if it might be something with the station because of the wind.
No, that shouldn't have an effect on it because that would affect the radio broadcast more than it does the app.
Okay, I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, appreciate it. Maybe just try restarting your phone and seeing if that helps.
By the way, what were you saying with the changes? That's when it went off, the radio station. You said Howie Cow was going to be on at 2 to 6, and then my phone just went dead.
Right, so Howie's going to be on 2 to 6 now, so we're going to pick him up at 3. So we'll pick him up. We'll miss the first hour, but we'll have Howie from 3 to 6, and then from 6 to 7 it'll be a best of Howie hour until we figure out what we're going to do at that time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks, man. Have a good New Year's.
You as well.
Okay, bye.
And let's take a quick shot into the newsroom here and get all of the updates on the stories of the day. And, that will go into effect today. Howie's moving back 2 to 6. We'll carry him 3 to 6. So if you want to get that first hour of the Howie Carr Show, you can catch it on the podcast at howiecarshow.com. But right now, let's go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
An act of terror in New Orleans, a fond farewell to Jimmy Carter, and protecting yourself against norovirus.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least 10 people are dead and dozens injured after a vehicle drove into a crowd on New Orleans' famous Bourbon Street. The FBI says it's investigating the event as an act of terrorism. A truck plowed into a group of people celebrating New Year's in the French Quarter early New Year's morning, and the driver, Gannaut, started firing a weapon, with police returning fire. The suspect is dead, has been identified as Shamsuddin Jabbar. Fox News reports others may have also been involved in the attack. The FBI is in charge of the investigation and also looking into possible explosives found at the scene. President Biden says he's grateful for the brave and swift response from law enforcement in New Orleans. He said his Homeland Security team has briefed him on the deadly incident that saw a truck plow through a crowd. Biden's directed his team to ensure every resource is available for the city. He added his heart goes out to the victims and their families who are simply trying to celebrate the holiday. Biden ended his statement by saying, quote, there's no justification for violence of any kind, and we will not tolerate any attack on our nation's communities. Two men are injured in separate New Year's Day subway stabbings in Manhattan. Both attacks happened about 9:30 in the morning. Police say in the first, the attacker didn't like the way a rider looked at him. They argued, and cops say he knifed the 30-year-old in the head, side, and hips. In the other attack, a 31-year-old man was stabbed in the back on a train in Greenwich Village. Both of the suspects are male and fled on foot. The victims reportedly are in stable condition. Police have descriptions of the men, surveillance video, and are on the hunt. The nation preparing to say a final goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter. A series of formal events will begin January 4th in Plains, Georgia, culminating with a service at Washington National Cathedral on January 9th. Carter's remains will then be transported back to Plains for a public motorcade route and private funeral service. Health experts say with a surge of norovirus across the country, it's a good idea to be prepared in case you get it. Dr. Bruce Hirsch, an infectious disease specialist at Northwell Health, tells the New York Post to make sure you've got Pedialyte or sports drinks on hand to stay hydrated. That's because norovirus typically causes severe vomiting and diarrhea that lasts 1 to 3 days. Other doctors say having Imodium around to treat diarrhea and an anti-nausea drug like Zofran are helpful. You'll need to eat too, so health experts recommend bland food like plain rice or pasta and avoiding dairy products. Frequent hand washing with soap and water is important, but most doctors say hand sanitizers don't do much good against norovirus.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and gusty today, a high of 39 degrees here on the South Coast. On Friday, mostly sunny, windy as well, with a high of 36 degrees. For the weekend, clouds return along with the wind. On Saturday, a high of 32 degrees, a high of 28 degrees on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. Well, I can't take you home tonight. I have bowling, so I'm going to be busy. But if you need a ride, you know, you can call an Uber or maybe call a Lyft or taxi, or they can get you home. But I can't take you home tonight. By the time I get done with bowling, it's time to go home and go to bed. So we were talking before about these just horrific attacks that happened on New Year's Day and whether or not they're connected, and if it implies that there might be even more attacks planned. But it's important to note that the information is still coming in to authorities. The FBI is still investigating. They're still trying to find out more information about who these other people were who may have been involved. So we really only have a picture so far of the perpetrator of the attack that was behind the wheel of the pickup truck. A U.S. citizen, an Army veteran, someone who had apparently become radicalized by ISIS based on his postings and the fact that he had an ISIS flag. So more information will be coming out in the coming day. And there was ISIS imagery on the device that he carried with him. But there'll be more information coming out in the coming days as they start piecing this together and finding who the other people are involved. But for now, the information is very fluid. We'll try and do our best to keep you up to date. And of course, ABC News will always have the latest at the top of every hour. So for now, you know, we just want to kind of avoid speculation and avoid trying to read into too much until we have the actual facts that have come out. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm so sorry that you're getting the germy.
That's all right. I'll get through it. As long as my voice holds up, that's all that matters.
You know, it's so funny because the other day I was going to tell you, I hope everybody's using that spray Lysol or some kind of sanitizer on the mic.
We do the mic, we do the counters, we do it all between shifts. So we try and do as best we can to mitigate it. But, you know, the problem is you're just in the same room breathing the same air the whole day. So there's not much you can do.
Yeah, Kitty must have been so bored with you sleeping all day, huh?
That's his problem. He's got enough stuff to entertain himself.
Well, he might get sick, too. The animals sometimes can get it. So I wanted to talk about what happened with these horrific events. So this gentleman, apparently he had an ISIS flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the two connections so far that they have with the Donald Trump, the Tesla going up in front of Donald Trump's casino, is that they rented from the same company.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if that's really much of a connection, just because, you know, there's how many companies to rent from?
Right.
Maybe like a half a dozen. And even then, like, who had vehicles available for a holiday, you know, for a holiday time?
Well,
you know,
I guess the only thing is they're saying that they rented them both on the same day. But yeah. Who knows? That could just been a statement against Trump because, you know, the location of it, and of course the Tesla, Elon Musk. So yeah, but yeah, it's unfortunate. And apparently this guy, he was in the military, I think for 8 years, they said. He had some discipline issues, but he still had honorable discharge. He was reserved. I mean, he went to school and got some more education, very well educated, was going through a divorce, arguing over money. They have one child. So, like, that's not enough reasons for...
Well, but, I mean, sometimes we do see that people who are, you know, going through catastrophic event like a divorce and being, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt as he was, that can sometimes, you know, open people up to influence.
Yeah. And apparently he lived in a Muslim neighborhood, and they said that he was very quiet. And he drove his truck around, I guess, for a few days before he went to... So he must have been thinking, you know, should I or shouldn't I or something? I don't know. But it's just so sad. It's those events, you know, it's major holidays. Everybody's such an easy target anymore. Doesn't matter who, like you say, it's people just are snapping left and right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, what really lit the fuse for this guy, but it seems like, you know, prior to at least the last couple of years, it seemed like everything was going okay in his life. And but sometimes when it starts to go downhill, it goes downhill fast.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And whatever that little thing in their head keeps gnawing at them, you know. So, yeah, it's just so sad. I don't know. I mean, I have more to say, but I know you can only have me on the phone so long.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. And how was your New Year's? Everything was fine? Everything was good?
Yes, it was quiet. A couple of people tried to convince me to go to Plymouth and come out and celebrate with us. And I'm like, no, I don't drink. Like I told you, December and January, I don't have alcohol around me. And I was good. I stayed home right where I wanted to be. And I cooked. I did some cooking. My friend has COVID or whatever this bad cold is. And he's just in bad shape. So I did a lot of cooking and been bringing food over there for, you know, last couple of days anyway.
Well, as long as you don't catch it.
No. Today I'm going to go get an oil change on my car. I was going to go to Plymouth, but with this wind, I'm like thinking I can wait one more day.
Should be all right if you decide to go. You should be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I hate driving in the wind. It's not a big deal.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Take it easy. And 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. But that is kind of what I've noticed lately with people and mental health issues is that it seems like it's a sharper decline for people lately. Instead of it being, you know, someone who was in therapy for years and tried to but it could also be that that's just how they portrayed themselves in public, that people close to them didn't even realize that they were having issues. People around them didn't realize that they were suffering in silence, that they were not handling the situation as well as they could. But that is the biggest thing that we need to do to avoid issues like this in the future and situations like this in the future is we have to remove some of the stigma of not being okay, of being able to say, hey, I think I'm having a tough time here. I think the pressure of this is getting to me. Because instead it becomes way too easy to fall into the trap of radicalization of ideas. And it doesn't just have to be, you know, radicalization by ISIS. It's any kind of outlook. Think about all the people that you know on social media that you've said, you know, gee, what's going on? Like all of a sudden, all they post about is, you know, politics every day. When they never really cared about politics. Why is it all of a sudden? It's because it's filling a hole or allowing for avoidance of something else. That there's another issue in their life that this has become the Band-Aid for. That a lot of times if we could just let people feel like they could talk about what that issue is and seek the necessary help, they wouldn't be looking for that Band-Aid anymore. But we're a long ways away from that being socially acceptable, and that's what we need to fix. And believe me, when I first started going to therapy for anger management, I didn't want to tell anybody that I was going. I didn't want to admit that I wasn't in control of myself. And they ask you that question on, you know, the doctor's office intake form. Have you had any dark thoughts or suicidal thoughts and all that? And people, I'm sure, click, you know, write no on that all the time when they've had those kind of thoughts because they're like, well, I've never really been serious about it. So I don't need them to have me go talk to somebody. And that's what will happen if I check yes. But then those thoughts can become more frequent. And I think everybody goes through a bout of something that they just can't see their way out of. whatever it might be, but they just don't know how they're going to get to the end point of it. And talking it out helps for a couple of reasons. One, it allows you to express all the feelings that you have about the situation. But two, it allows you to realize that it's not as desperate as it may seem. So hopefully, if you ever get into that kind of situation, you know there are resources around the area that can help you. And certainly call into this show if it gets to be too much and we can connect you with the right people. Before you start turning to other darker thoughts to take your mind off of the things that you are trying to overcome. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. Like the other people. Well, you can try calling 867-5309 if you want, but I don't know if I think Jenny changed her number by now. And that's not the number you're going to be able to call to get to me. If you want to get to me, you got to call 508-996-0500. Or as we talked about last week, you can call Wyman 0500. So that's going to work on an article on that. So there's also an article that I wrote on Tuesday that I want to point your attention to that some of you may have some fond memories of a particular restaurant that went away exactly 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago on New Year's Eve that they served their final meals, that being the legendary Hell's Blazes in Middleborough. And it was, at one point, the oldest continuously operating tavern in the United States. And I know people are commenting on the story and saying, well, what about the White Horse Tavern in Newport? They're the oldest tavern in the United States. Well, they are. The building is the oldest, but it wasn't, there wasn't a time period where it wasn't operating as a tavern. So the Hell's Blazes was the oldest continuously operating tavern at the time of its fire, the original fire in 1971 that claimed the original building. And then they rebuilt it to kind of look like the original. And that went on for another, 33 years before the final closure of it in 2004. The property was sold to a salvage yard, and now they own the property and they tore down the building. But the former owners of the Hell's Blazes Tavern, the Deering family, who now operate the Fireside Grill in Middleborough, they put up a remembrance post of it. And so I, kind of just wrote about how they were paying tribute to Hell's Blazes and shared the story out and getting so many great Hell's Blazes memories from people. So you can add yours on the WBSM Facebook page if you'd like to. And it was the place where I first tried escargot for the first time. I ate my first snail, and I only went there, I think, maybe once or twice, but I wish I could have gone back, and I wish I hadn't taken so long to go there the first time and not been able to enjoy it multiple times before it eventually left the South Coast restaurant scene. So memories of Hell's Blazes at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We'll be right back.